Welcome to Eastern Standard, produced for WEKU by Dynamics Productions. I'm Tom Martin. Thanks for joining us. Theater of the Mind is a hallmark of public radio, and ever so often we offer Eastern Standard as a stage for locally written, locally acted, locally directed productions. This hour is devoted to our latest, 7 Miles to Harrodsburg. It's a fictional portrayal of forbidden romance set at Pleasant Hill, Kentucky, the site of a Shaker religious community that was active from 1805 to 1910. Following a preservationist effort that began in 1961, the site, now a National Historic Landmark, has become a popular tourist destination. Before we begin, Eastern Standard Theater Series host Bill McCann gets some background from the playwright.
Al DiGiacomo, the author of 7 Miles to Harrodsburg, the first two-part radio drama we've done in our Theater of the Mind series on Eastern Standard, is a Catholic priest. Today, known as Father Al by his parishioners at Christ the King Cathedral in Lexington. Prior to that, though, he taught theater and directed plays in both high schools and colleges. In fact, immediately before becoming a priest 16 years ago, Father Al DiGiacomo taught at Berea College. And before coming to Christ the King, Father Al was at St. Andrew's Catholic Church in Harrodsburg, where a full-length stage version of this play will be performed later this year. Welcome to Eastern Standard, Father Al.
Thank you so much, Bill. It's really good to be here.
It seems a bit unusual for a priest to write plays. Is doing this part of your ministry, or is it just something you do for fun?
I do it for fun, but actually priest playwrights go way back in theater history. You'll find them, just as there are priest composers and priest poets as well.
Right. Okay. We first met several years ago when both of us had plays read at Ragged Edge Community Theater in Harrodsburg. At the time, you expressed concern that anyone would have any interest in religion-themed plays. Yet, 7 Miles to Harrodsburg is just such a play. How did you happen to write this radio drama set in Shaker Village?
I was always interested in the Shakers. And one day when I was going through an exhibition at Shaker Village, I saw this photo of this character, Henry Gambrill, about whom nothing was known. A Shaker not dressed like a Shaker. And the caption underneath the photo said, there is much to be learned about Henry Gambrill. Well, at the time, I was also interested in Thomas Merton. And I knew that Thomas Merton had made 4 significant visits to Shaker Village in the 1960s. And I wondered what it would have been like if Henry Gambrill had met Thomas Merton, because Shakers believed that persons from the past, persons who were dead, came and appeared to them. One was George Washington, who they believed appeared to them in their community. And Merton was going through his own personal crisis at that time in his life in the 60s, and I wondered what it would have been like if Merton was standing before the photo, as I was at that very moment, and wondered, Henry, what became of you? What choices did you make in your life? And if Henry appeared to him to be his guide, his Virgil, as it were, midway through his life. And that's how the play was born in my mind.
Okay. So most of these characters are real characters, are real people,
Henry
based
Gambrill,
on them.
Henry Gambrill existed, and certainly Thomas Merton existed.
Right, and Lizzie did too. So who were all these people?
I based Lizzie on the character of Mary Settles, who is the subject of an exhibition right now at Pleasant Hill at Shaker Village. Mary Settles was the last living Shaker. She died in 1923. So she's roughly modeled on her.
Okay. What about the other characters mentioned? What was his name? The one who owned the various shops.
Oh,
and those
right.
sorts of folks.
Right. In the full-length play is James Eisenberg and Ben Spillman. James Eisenberg owned the Blue Front, which was a large department store at that time, right on Main Street. Temmie Hoskins' optometrist is there right now at the corner of a poplar. And diagonally across from the Blue Front was Ben Spillman's photo studio. He was a renowned photographer at the time, and some of his work appears today at Shaker Village. So I put them in the play. Eisenberg was responsible for the preservation of Shaker Village, preserving the industries, the crafts, the life, the culture, really the forerunner of Shaker Village as we know it today. We owe a great deal to him.
Okay. And what about Elder Matthew?
Totally made up. Based on all the research that I did, I remember reading a novel, a seminal novel by Janice Holt Giles called The Believers. I derived much information from that novel.
What about this play is different from the full-length play that you're working on?
Yes. I focused this radio drama just on the characters of Henry and Lizzie.
Just because of the length of it, or was there something
else? Because of the length, the requirements of radio drama, and because it is very romantic, or romantical, as they say, in the play, and there's a great deal of heightened emotion that brings about an explosion, an emotional explosion. Drama is all about crisis, as you know, not about stasis, and so I thought this particular excerpt would be fitting and apt for a radio drama. So I wrote the full-length play really with an eye to the 250th anniversary of the city of Harrodsburg, which is coming up in 2024. Harrodsburg, as you know, is the oldest city in the state of Kentucky. And I thought these figures, Eisenberg and Spillman and other events like Vandiver's Pool Hall in Harrodsburg and the Queensway Diner, and certainly Shaker Village, 7 miles down the road. I thought this would be suitable material for people to remember, people of Harrodsburg and the region to remember their own history.
Do you have a time and a place when this will be performed?
Well, Alan Barlow, the managing director of the Ragged Edge Community Theater, who has been very supportive of my work, presented, of course, the first version of this play, which was called Seeking Henry Gambrill. And then he and I discussed the possibility of revising it for the Harrodsburg celebrations in 2024. And he suggested to me that the characters of Lizzie and Henry and Elder Matthew are compelling enough in and of themselves to deserve a full play, and Eisenberg and Spillman. And so we shed the Thomas Merton plot. And so we're looking at the possibility of a reading this coming August in the Newworks Festival, and perhaps if that works, if it's well received, if it's warranted, to proceed with a full-length stage version for the celebrations in 2024.
With that, I guess we'll just go right into the play. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you very much, Bill. A pleasure.
I saw you at the worship meeting last night.
I saw you looking. You're new here at Pleasant Hill. Henry, is it?
Yes'm. Henry Gambrill. Arrived from Harrodsburg yesterday. Want to see what you Shakers are like. What's your name? And what do you do here?
Lizzie. Lizzie Cooper. I make dresses and bonnets and help care for the girls in the primary school.
Miss Lizzie, look. The pond's all froze over. Let's have a slip slide. What do you say?
Oh, no, Henry.
Oh, come on.
Oh, Henry! Henry, we can't keep coming to West Pond like this.
We have to meet under dark of night. What else can we do? Lizzie, I want to show you this. I bought this here mandolin.
Why?
I want to play them shaker songs, and I like the sound of the mandolin.
Where'd you get it?
In Harrodsburg.
How'd you ever get there?
I hopped a hay wagon. It's only 7 miles down the post road.
Where'd you get the money to buy it?
I won it.
You won it? Where?
In a pool hall, Vandiver's. I'm pretty good at pool and music, too, picking up tunes by ear. I bought it to play shaker tunes for you, under this here tree. Reminds me of the shaker tree of life, even in winter. Listen. I could play even better if it weren't so cold. May I hold your hand?
Well, okay. Just a little. Oh, Henry, your hands are so cold.
Oh, Lizzie, your hands are so soft. Hey, you in the window. Tell Lizzie I want to see her. Go get her for me.
Henry, what are you doing? Are you crazy?
Yes, I am. Crazy. Crazy for you. Listen.
Henry, go away. Before the trustees or elders hear you, this is dangerous. These women here.
Those women there, they won't report us. They're for us.
Some of them are jealous. There's one. She wishes you noticed her. You created a sensation the other night at the meeting.
Just because I looked at you?
Of course. The trustees are always looking.
Don't argue. Meet me in 5 minutes at West Pond.
But Henry, it's so cold.
Don't worry, Lizzie. I'll keep you warm. 5 minutes.
Henry, where did you get this rocking chair?
Off the porch of East Family Dwelling. Here's a spin for you.
Henry!
Don't be shocked. The fellas do it all the time. I'm going to Harrodsburg tomorrow. Come with me, Lizzie.
Henry, you're crazy.
I really like you.
Why are you going there?
There's something I want to buy. Something for you and me. You'll like it.
I've never been to Harrodsburg.
That's why I'm asking you.
Why?
Why so many questions? Because it'll be fun, that's why. It'll be an adventure for you. And besides, I like you.
Shaker girls don't go to town like that.
Well, wait till you see what I bring back. I'll give you a signal at the service in the meeting house. I'll pull my earlobe. Meet me under the apple tree.
Henry, why are we meeting on this apple orchard?
Because it's far from the house dwellings. Now, I gotta set up this here tripod and camera. Wanna take your picture. Now, stand there. Now, hold still, Lizzie, before my fingers freeze. And smile. Smile pretty, Lizzie, under that full moon. There.
I've never had my photo taken.
Figured. I bought this here camera from Mr. Ben Spillman. New model this year. $18.99. Kodak.
You like toys, Henry.
I'd like to have a photo of you.
Henry, you make me blush. You know photos are against the Shaker millennial laws.
Who's gonna know?
Well, all right. But let's leave quickly before someone comes. All we need is for Elder Matthew to catch us.
Let me just take one more.
Hurry, Henry, it's freezing.
Let me position you there. Smile pretty now.
Henry, I heard something. In the trees. Henry, someone saw us.
I seen a vision. I had me a vision. A girl of this here community of believers. a Covenanter girl with a young man among us. Doing things together. Things they shouldn't be doing. I seen it! Henry Gambrel and Lizzie Cooper. I seen them!
Henry Gambrel.
Elder Matthew, what are you doing in my room?
I heard that locution, Henry Gambrel. One of your house brothers told me about these photos. And of a covenanted Shaker woman, too.
Others have photos. I'm not the only one who knows how to get around the laws.
This is the vanity of the world. You are not docile. I will not tolerate it.
No!
There. So much for those photos, Henry Gambrel.
Oh, Lord God, why does this hurt so much? I believe you led me here. I wanted so much to belong to something since I left the orphanage. Will Tapp left the Shakers, my only friend. I could go with him, but I want to be with Lizzie. I will keep trying to win Lizzie. I won't let Elder Matthew stop me. God help me!
O Lord God, why have you put this boy in my life? Why this boy? So many others here. Why this boy? Why are you tormenting me? Why? God, help me!
We shouldn't be here at West Pond. You're in enough trouble, Henry.
I don't care. I've got to be with you. I want to share something with you.
Henry, something more?
I bought it from Mr. Eisenberg at his blue front shop on Main Street.
Really, Henry?
Close your eyes, Lizzie.
Okay.
Now, open.
A package. What's in it? Another one of your toys? It's heavy.
Open. It ain't gonna bite you.
Oh my, ice skates.
You ever been on ice skates, Lizzie?
No, never.
Well, we're gonna fix that right quick. Let's put on these here skates. Lace them up. Come on, sit down. It's important to tie them up nice and tight for support, like this here, so you can stand up real good on them. But not too tight. Don't want to stop the blood from circulating. Okay, now, come on, let me help you up.
Oh my.
There. Exciting, ain't it?
It feels so strange.
A little wobbly at first. Now let's step out. I'll hold you. After a while, it'll feel right natural to glide free. Okay, now. Hold your head high, Lizzie, and just glide. Glide. Glide.
Henry, this is fun. Oh, my.
See what fun life can be, Lizzie, when you glide free?
But if the Ministry of Elders finds out, they'll bring us before the Central Ministry in New York State. They'll come from Watervliet.
Let them. I don't think there is a millennial law against ice skating.
Henry.
Lizzie, we deserve to be happy. Every human being deserves to be happy. If I want to go to Harrodsburg, I will. Lizzie, I will.
What are you saying, Henry?
I'm leaving.
Henry, for good?
No, for practice.
Practice for what?
For having a life. Play some pool at Vandiver's. I'll win us some money and we can have lunch at Queensway Diner.
Henry, I've never seen a big city.
I'd like to show you Harrodsburg. You might like it.
I'm afraid.
Of what?
Of what I might see.
I was afraid of you being afraid of seeing. That's how we're different, you and me. Well, one more glide across the ice anyway. Come on. Please, Lizzie.
Henry Gambrel, stop right there. I'm taking you before the entire Shaker community. Brothers and sisters of the community of believers, Shakers all, this man, Henry Gambrel, was seen consorting with this woman, a coveted woman of the community of believers.
Shame.
Consorting with this believer of the covenant.
Shame.
Consorting in a most romantical,
shame.
A most romantical way, evil and sin. Woe to him who brings this upon another. Woe, woe. Henry Gambrill, you will do public penance for 3 days on the steps of the meeting house. 3 days to commemorate the Lord's 3 days in the tomb. 3 days to die to self. 3 days for all to see. Starting tomorrow night, 7 p.m.
Whoa.
We'll be back with part two of 7 Miles to Harrodsburg in a moment, plus some myth-busting.
Shakerism is still alive and well today, that it is not a dead religion.
A conversation about this utopian community's history, beliefs, lifestyle, architecture, and furniture with Shaker Village curator Rebecca Soles. I'm Tom Martin, and you're listening to Eastern Standard on WEKU.
This is Brian Burkhart with coming events from Kentucky Humanities. On Monday, August 7th, the Mercer County Public Library in Harrodsburg will host Primetime Family Reading. The program begins at 6 p.m. On Wednesday, August 9th, the Mintel Neighborhood Book Club in Lexington will host Kentucky Reads, the Bookwoman's Daughter Book Discussion. The program begins at 5:30. On Saturday, August 12th, the First Vineyard Winery in Nicholasville will host Kentucky Chautauqua Daniel Boone, the First Kentuckian. The show starts at 7 p.m. And on August 15th, Kentucky Humanities will be hosting the second of their 4 disaster recovery webinars sponsored by the National Endowment for the Humanities. This program will begin at 10 a.m. via Zoom. Registration and more information can be found at kyhumanities.org. I'm Brian Burkhart. Now back to Eastern Standard with Tom Martin.
And back to 7 Miles to Harrodsburg, our latest radio play by Al DiGiacomo. It's a fictional account of a forbidden romance in the celibate Shaker community at Pleasant Hill, Kentucky.
You have suffered public humiliation. After these 3 days of penance, giving you plenty of time to think and pray, I ask you, do you really think you belong here among the believers?
Believers do not believe in pretty girls.
Believers do not allow themselves to notice.
I like noticing pretty girls. I ain't the only one, neither.
Don't be impertinent. Believers do not ice skate with girls, let alone hold them in their arms. You are disrupting this girl's spirit.
She likes me.
That is beside the point.
I see that.
What else do you see?
I see that it ain't natural. It's natural for a young man to notice a pretty girl.
Mother Anne thought it the root of all destruction.
Miss Cornelia in the orphanage thought it the root of love.
Love is above.
It begins below, here and now. I came here to belong to something. I have tried, but I need to breathe free. I want to make something of myself.
Henry, you are too much an individual. You never signed the covenant. You came and went, all those trips to Harrodsburg. You never talk of God.
No, I talk to God.
Life is sorrow and travail.
God wants me to be happy. God gave me talents, just like in that there parable. I want to use them, develop them. That's how I'm a believer. So what if I smoke a little tobacco and I sip a little beer?
Whiskey is more like it.
What's wrong with it?
You sound like a Catholic.
Shakers distill whiskey and sell it to the world. For profit. Ain't that a sin then, too?
Stop! You're defiant, not docile, not humble. You bear only one end of Christ's yoke on your shoulder. The other half is in Harrodsburg. You are hardly worth your board to the Society of Believers.
You see me as dangerous. Don't you? Don't you? Don't you?
This is partly true, I am afraid.
Get him under control. He puts crazy ideas in the other boys' heads.
Control yourself!
You were never like this with Will Trapp or the other young men. There ain't no saints, neither. I ain't no freeloader like some here. I work hard on the farm. I ain't no winter shaker. I ain't absconded with money in the middle of the night. I never sold farm seeds at market and run away with the money. Didn't get no one pregnant. Never got drunk like some others. Why are you so hard on me? I deserve an answer. I'm waiting.
I have asked myself the same question. Prayed for an answer. Years ago, I had a son. He died in an accident on our farm in New York. It was my fault. My wife left me. After that, I sold my farm, went to the Shakers in nearby Watervliet. They took me in. But I had to get far, far away from New York. I came here to Pleasant Hill. You remind me of my son. He would be your age today. I can't bear to look at you. There, that's why. Now you know.
What was his name?
Jacob. His name was Jacob.
I never thought of you as married, let alone having a son. Sad to hear this. I am sorry for your loss, Elder Matthew. Now I see. But it don't hurt any less the way you are with me. At least now I understand why.
Seeing you, I see Jacob. Seeing you, I ask myself. I ask the good Lord. Have I built my house on sand? Did I come to Pleasant Hill for the wrong reason? Did I come here to escape?
Sometimes I reckon escaping is the only way.
What do you mean?
I wonder myself.
If you leave now, your name will never appear in the roll book. You will never be a part of this history.
They ain't even keeping the roll book regular no more.
I give you 3 days to make up your mind.
3 days? Another 3 days? We'll see about another 3 days. See you at the meeting house, Elder Matthew, tonight. I got me a locution to make. A locution. This is my locution. I cannot live this life. The spirit visited me too, not just Mother Anne, not just jealous girls who spy and report on their family dwelling sisters, not just envious brothers who do likewise. And this is what I see. This life is unnatural. Ain't no tree of life here. No, sir, not at all.
Woe
is you. Woe on you. Some of you is hypocrites, and you know it. You believers block the life of the individual.
Woe
to you. I tell you, this ain't the God of love, not the God I know. All these rules, this life of spying, those windows up there, the ministry spying to see who's breaking the rules, who's getting too close to another, a man to a woman or a woman to a man. This here is a life of fear, not God's love. Penances and humiliations in front of everyone.
Whoa!
You can woe all you like. You're all blind. Can't you recognize what's happening here? All the people is leaving you, abdicating, as you call it, in the middle of the night, sneaking out. I'm the one you caught, that's all. Open your eyes. You're losing your land, selling it off to George Bohan of Harrodsburg so you can keep going. But you ain't going nowhere. That new Oldsmobile motor car will carry off even more. Carry him off with the thrill of speed along this here post road. Well, I'm leaving Pleasant Hill on my own free will, on account it ain't so pleasant. It ain't pleasant at all. So goodbye. Goodbye to you all. Come away with me. I'm asking you one more time.
I can't leave my mama and my little sister.
The ministry doesn't let you talk to them.
But at least I see them in the community.
Unnatural again. Please, Lizzie.
I can't leave my ma, all she's been through. My pa, the way he beat her. One night he came home drunk and he went after my sister with his belt. I stood in between them and I took the strap. Sting hard it did. I still hear the crack and the snap of the strap. My ma came running. She screamed at him to stop.
I'd have socked him, doing like that.
He hit her, right across the face with the back of his hand. That night, my mom, my sister, and me ran out into the dark. Into the night we ran. We hid in a wagon going to Frankfurt. We got passage on a steamboat, sailing here to Shaker Landing. The Shakers took us in. Kindly welcome they made us. Henry, I tell you, for the first time in my life, I felt safe. Really safe. When I turned 18, I signed the covenant. I made a commitment. This is my home.
I'm so sorry, Lizzie. That was terrible. Still, you have a right to your own life.
She's my ma. She can see me around, and I can see her. That's enough. Besides, I don't trust the world, the terrible things men do in it. I see them when they pass through on the post road.
Is that how you see me, doing terrible things?
Henry, you're still a boy. God made you pretty to look upon. But you have ambition. You said so.
Yes, to make something of myself. Lizzie, I ain't been perfect. I've been through a lot. My mama got pregnant with me. She wasn't married. My papa, whoever he was, he run away. She left me on the steps of the orphanage. Once, when I was 13, I ran away. I hitched a ride to Louisville across the river. Met some older boys. Hung around with them on the river. One night, I got a little liquored. A kind steamboat captain, he said to me, "Son, nothing but trouble here on the docks of a big city like Louisville." He brought me back to Miss Cornelia. I worked real hard to make something of myself in the orphanage.
Henry, that's real sad.
We both have sad stories. But it don't have to be that way no more. We can make new stories, Lizzie.
You'll be successful, Henry. What will it do to you?
It's hard for you to trust in goodness, isn't it, Lizzie?
I have not seen much goodness. Except here, among the believers. Henry, you ask too much.
I'm asking what's natural, Lizzie. It's natural for a boy and a girl to be together. Ain't natural here. Men and women separated, two staircases, two doors to every building, to everything. Ain't natural, I'm telling you. Seeing each other and not talking, not mixing.
Henry, I don't know.
I need to fly. I want to fly, Lizzie, like flying across this here ice. Believe in me. Come with me.
I don't know.
You know me. Just trust me.
I wish I could. My mother and my sister, they're all I have.
They are like the palisades down the river here.
How do you mean?
They're in your way. You can't see beyond them. I can't move you. I can't. I can't.
Oh, Henry, I know who I am.
I thought I found a community to belong to here. That Shaker music, it's so haunting. But I can't live the life, all them millennial laws. I cannot live in the rules. It's clearer to me than ever. I must find my own life. But, Lizzie, I will never forget you. I'll return someday.
Henry, my heart is so full.
What will you do?
I will continue to make bonnets and dresses.
Then what?
Praise and thank God for his tender mercies.
Will you skate on West Pond?
Never again. Not after you. The memory is too perfect.
I will leave you my ice skates. Keep them with yours. When you see them, you will remember.
I will cherish the memory. Always. Always. Always.
May I play you a song? After I left Pleasant Hill, Lizzie became a revered eldress. Many women came to see her for counsel. After the community of believers disintegrated, she stayed, the last living Shaker of Pleasant Hill. Women came from as far away as Lexington, Louisville, and Cincinnati. She became the very face of Pleasant Hill until she died on December 17th, 1923. On one visit to her grave, she came to me. I could hear her say,
Henry.
Lizzie.
What brings you here to Pleasant Hill?
I came to Harrodsburg to close up Mr. James' Blue Front shop on Main Street.
God rest him. He was always good to us believers.
And to me, too. Took me in, gave me a job, made me his partner. Now, I gotta move on.
Moving on. Always pushing. Like pushing rocking chairs on ice.
After all this time, I love you. Still.
I still love you. I always will.
You changed my life. Lizzie, I found something I wrote about you. About us. Remember this? Today, at the pond, we met. I played simple gifts over and over.
I treasure the memory.
Through space and time.
Yes, even from here.
We will always be a part of each other. Goodbye, Lizzie. For now. I never kept my photos of Lizzie. I learned who I am. Elder Matthew, he learned too. Mellowed after that. I used to visit him there. Always called me, son. Pleasant Hill will always be a part of me. I continued to play simple gifts on my mandolin. The simple gifts live in me. Others too. Many people come to Pleasant Hill, seeking the Shaker spirit. It's a gift, true indeed. I found my way home.
'Tis a gift to be simple, 'tis a gift to be free, 'tis a gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in a place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When truth's in.
Patrick Valentino played Henry Gambrill, Gabriel Mannion as Lizzie Cooper, Bill McCann played Elder Matthew, Rachel Staub as the Shaker Girl, Al White on the mandolin, sound design by Jacob Ranzau and Neil Kesterson. In the play that we just heard, 7 Miles to Harrodsburg, Al DiGiacomo uses a playwright's artistic license to build a dramatic tale about forbidden romance in a community where such fraternization is frowned upon. What was life really like, though, for the people who inhabited the Shaker community? Shaker Village curator Rebecca Soles joins us for some insights about that. Welcome to Eastern Standard, Rebecca.
Thank you so much for having me.
And so, first, let's get a little bit of history here so everybody can kind of orient. Do I understand correctly that this could be considered a utopian society formed in England some point in the 1700s?
Exactly. We often consider the Shakers one of the most successful utopian societies or experiments in American history that did begin in England, but really flourishes and develops into its mature form in America, starting in the 1770s and early 1780s. So about the same age as the United States of America as a country.
And so how do Shakers differ from Quakers?
That's a great question. And without getting so deep into Shaker theology, one of the best ways to think about it is the fact that the Shakers' nickname of the Shakers, their official name was actually the United Society of Believers in Christ's Second Appearing. But they get their nickname of the Shakers partly because a lot of early converts had roots in the Quakers. And people would say, you know, that group of shaking Quakers that then gets shortened to Shakers. And that's where that nickname comes from. But when we look at theological differences, one of the best ways of sort of differentiating is that the Shakers are much more of this utopian society, committed to living in community and practicing much more stringent practices than the Quakers.
Briefly, how did Shaker beliefs make their way from England over to a very young America?
Yeah, so Shakerism begins in England in the 1740s and 1750s. And by 1774, there's a small group of sort of early Shaker converts under the leadership of a woman named Anne Lee. And she and a couple of her followers have visions that point them towards considering a move towards North America. England at the time was also not particularly accepting of nonconformist religions that were different from the Anglican Church. So the Shakers immigrate, a small group, immigrate to America in 1774, eventually purchase property outside of Albany, New York, and then will eventually spread out from that location to end up with 18 major communities spread throughout New York, New England, and then out in the Old West of Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana.
Well, we mentioned earlier that this was a utopian community. Did the Shakers practice communal living where all property was shared?
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of the things that would really have differentiated, among other things, that would have differentiated the Shakers from a lot of their neighbors, that if you're joining and you're becoming a full member of the Shaker Church, you're turning over your property, you're consecrating it to the good of the community. So you might be a small farmer who shows up with nothing. Maybe you had a bad year and you joined the Shakers probably partly for financial reasons, and you come to the community with nothing. Or maybe you're a wealthy landowner and you're going to deed over all your property to the Shakers. And that's actually one of the reasons why we get Shaker communities where we do, such as Pleasant Hill being where it is in Mercer County and South Union down in Logan County, because there were converts there who became interested in Shakerism and who turned over their property for the good of the community.
Uh-huh. Well, a big question, I think, for a lot of people is why they rejected having children. They instead opted to adopt children or recruit converts into the community, but did not have children.
Yeah, so the Shakers didn't have children for a couple of reasons. One, more broadly, we could talk about their ideas as being a communal society where everyone is equal and in union. The Shakers talk a lot about this concept of union, by which they mean everyone getting along, everyone sharing the same beliefs, no one having internal strife or disagreements with each other, but also no one having particular relationships or friendships. And that could be, you know, a male-female romantic relationship. That could also just be a really close friendship between two women or two men. So that's one reason that if you have sort of these couples coupling off and having children, you're disrupting the union of the community. But spiritually and theologically, the Shakers also turn to celibacy because they go back and they look at the writings of the early New Testament, and they want to be like the early Christian church. And they look at Jesus of Nazareth and his early disciples, and they say, they interpret the Bible as saying that they were celibate. They also talk spiritually, particularly in the 1840s and 1850s, when they get very interested in angels and spiritual visions and gifts and all of those things. They make a lot of references towards how being a heavenly people like the angels, they would not marry or have children.
Well, one of the big perceptions, I think, out there about the Shakers is that the community eventually withered, and if it did, mainly due to celibacy among its adherents. So a couple of questions about that. First, is the Shaker community a thing of the past? And then also, what about that notion of celibacy?
Exactly, that we hear a lot if you visit Shaker Village, that people are very focused on the celibacy, because that's one of the things that differentiates the Shakers maybe from us today and sort of helps them stand out as these other group of folks. But Shakerism is still alive and well today, that it is not a dead religion. There are practicing Shakers who still live in a community in Maine. And right now there are only two covenanted Shakers who are living that life daily and are committed to the faith, but they still accept converts. They have a large supportive community of friends and neighbors who are involved in the Shaker life and Shaker community. And they have some really exciting things that they're working towards for their future. So they are, you know, planning for the future and do not consider Shakerism a thing of the past, and think that it has a lot of relevance for people today in the 21st century.
Well, did the Shakers develop a model of some sort of equality of the sexes, although it might not be what we consider equality today?
Yeah, I think that's a really great caveat, that equality in the 19th century looked a little different than maybe it does today. The Shakers, for instance, were much more gender equal than most of their mainstream 19th century neighbors, but they might not meet our standards for today, where, you know, we might say a woman and a man can do interchangeable jobs or whatever they set out their mind to do. For the Shakers, they ascribed to this same doctrine of a lot of 19th century folks, where there was sort of a clear gender division. So women were good at certain tasks and men were good at certain tasks, and there's not a lot of commonality between them. And they're going to divide them up very traditional. So we've got the men out in the field, raising the crops, caring for the livestock, doing the construction work. We've got the women sort of in the household, although it's a communal large household and family and a Shaker community. And they're doing things like the laundry and the cooking and often serve as school teachers and taking on a lot of those roles. But because the community was so strictly divided by gender, the women are reporting to women leaders. So it's very much different than the neighbors, that if you were a sister in the community, you're not reporting to a male leader of the community, you're reporting to a female eldress.
Are there other preconceived notions and misperceptions about life in the Shaker community that first-time visitors often bring with them when they come to visit?
Sure. Visitors to Pleasant Hill often, you know, one of those questions is often about the connection between the Shaker and the Amish. And it's really easy sort of to conflate the relatively plain and simple dress of how the Shakers would have dressed with the way we think of the Amish today. And theologically, they have no common origins or no relationship. And in the way that they live daily life, they're also quite different. So we often think of the Amish as having some restrictions about what type of technology they can use or what they would embrace in their community. But the Shakers were very much into technology. So they were willing to embrace whatever would make their physical labor or their daily labor in the community easier, believing that then that would free up additional time for worship and spiritual pursuits. So that would manifest in things like having telephones and radio, automobiles, electric lights, new farm equipment, all of those types of things.
Oh, interesting. Was there some sort of vetting or screening process for admitting new members, or did the community just take anyone who appeared on the doorstep?
I often like to joke that my answer to pretty much any question is it depends on the situation and the time period. So there's definitely change over time at Pleasant Hill over its slightly more than 100 years of history. Things would have changed. But generally, if this is your first time showing up at a Shaker community, you would have been welcomed in at least on a probationary basis. There were two families at Pleasant Hill that were called the Novitiate Orders or the Gathering Order, and that was where you would go if you were a new convert, sort of an unknown commodity. And you could sort of, it went both ways. You could see, you know, is a Shaker community everything you think it's going to be? Do you really want to stay here? And the Shakers could see, are you going to be a good fit? And certainly they could politely dissuade you if they really thought you weren't going to be a good fit for the community or if there was a big reason why you weren't going to be able to stay. As time progresses, the Shakers maybe got a little more, maybe had a few more rules. And for instance, today you can't join the Shaker community in Maine if you have attachments to the outside world. That might be if you have children or parents that you're responsible for providing care for, or if you have financial commitments or those kind of things. And same rules would have applied in the 19th century, that the Shakers want to make sure of that if you were committing, you didn't have a lot of ties that were going to pull you away from the community.
What about the racial and ethnic makeup of the community? Was it diverse or mostly all white?
One of the things that we're really interested in here at Pleasant Hill, and one of the things that we'd love to do some more research about, is the diversity of the community. We know that Pleasant Hill was likely one of the most diverse Shaker communities. All Shaker communities were welcoming, just like they're interested in gender equality. They're also, in theory at least, they practice ethnic and racial equality, although that certainly wouldn't have completely eliminated some of the biases of 19th century American life. And then here at Pleasant Hill, we know specifically that there was a number of people who came here often as enslaved folks. Maybe their owners became interested in Shakerism and converted, and the Shakers would have either arranged for their manumission or made arrangements so that they could stay in the community as free Blacks. We also know that a lot of early Pleasant Hill Shakers came from that diverse background that made up Kentucky. So we have German immigrants, Scotch-Irish, lots of people of Dutch descent in the community. So it would have been, I think if you walked down the turnpike at certain points in the 19th century, you would have heard other languages being spoken, people who English was not their first language, and a very diverse group that did not necessarily represent what rural Kentucky looked like at the time.
One of the things the Shaker community is really known for is architecture and primarily furniture. How would you characterize the Shaker architecture and furniture style?
Sure. I think one of the things that people really love about Shaker furniture is that notion that it's got those clean lines. It has, I think the word simple is overused, but it has that simplicity often contrasted with elaborate 19th century Victorian furniture with furbelows and things on it. And Shaker furniture was quite restrained generally. It is interesting that there's some really clear differences between the furniture and architecture that was being produced by the Shakers back east in New York and New England, and then the things that they were doing out west in Ohio and Kentucky. In Kentucky in particular, Shaker architecture and furniture is in sort of its own little subgenre, which makes sense because a lot of the converts were drawn from the local area and would have had their own worldview and their own experiences, and they're coming into the community and they're bringing all that with them.
Well, it's also very interesting, and we really appreciate you taking the time to give us a fact-based historical view of Pleasant Hill and of the Shaker community. Shaker Village curator Rebecca Soles, thank you so much for joining us on Eastern Standard.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can learn more about Shaker Village online at shakervillage.org. By the way, you may recognize that song, Simple Gifts. The tune and lyrics were written by Elder Joseph Brackett, who lived from 1797 to 1882 and was a member of the Alfred Main Shaker community. The song was largely unknown outside Shaker communities until Aaron Copland used its melody for the score of Martha Graham's ballet, Appalachian Spring, first performed in 1944. The final two lines of the lyrics are, "To turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning we come round right." Well, turning is a common theme in Christian theology, but the references to turning in the last two lines have also been identified as dance instructions. When the traditional dance is performed properly, each dancer ends up where they started, to come round right. Aaron Copland used Simple Gifts a second time in 1950 in his first set of Old American Songs for voice and piano, which was later orchestrated. Thanks for joining us. Eastern Standard is produced at the studios of Dynamics Productions. Mike Savage, executive producer, Neil Kesterson, sound designer and technical director, Ella Fitzgeraldine, studio dog. We're online at esweku.org, where you can check out the Eastern Standard Archive, our series, our partners, and more. And you can sign up there for our weekly e-newsletter. You can find Eastern Standard online at weku.org, on the WEKU app, and anywhere you get podcasts, including Apple and Spotify. Would you like to call something to our attention or suggest a topic? Email us at es@eku.edu. I'm Tom Martin. Thanks for listening to Eastern Standard on WEKU.